pixels in the animation has now left the Mushroom Kingdom, Paizans, to enter the realm of Hyrule in episodes 16 through 20 of PETA. Join TV's Mr. Neil and TFG1 Mike as they are going through the classic, and I'm actually have my fingers in the air and making air quotes when we say classic, Legend of Zelda the Animated Series. This time around, a special guest joins the guys for the Zelda reviews. It's the famed Ender from Radio Free Cybertron and the Pullback. So tune in and help us find the pixels in the animation, which you can find on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Excuse us, listeners.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Powers. This is Off the Cuff, episode 32. Tonight, we've got a shorter, well, possibly shorter, more intimate show for you. We have LEGO Marvel Super Heroes, the demo to talk about, and some heartbreaking next-gen news as well. By the way, we can't seem to get Danner and Shanzi in the same room together anymore.
It's okay. I'm fine with it.
So, joining
They're
us...
like a sad married couple who's fighting and they can't be in the same room together.
So joining us tonight is Joe Reed, as you've heard.
Hello.
And Art Danner.
Maybe it's because there's a weight restriction for the podcast now and he just doesn't fit.
Ding. You do sound like a married couple.
Oh, well, my gosh. Or Danner has actually killed him.
They haven't found the body yet.
So, should we get the bad news out of the way first? Okay, I take that as a yes. Watch Dogs, which was supposed to be a next-gen launch title. Actually, many people considered it to be the next-gen game.
It's no longer the launch title.
It's no longer the launch title. Yeah, no longer a launch title. It has been delayed to spring of 2014.
Which means I have absolutely no reason to buy a system at launch anymore. That I was going to anyway, but now I really don't need to.
Yeah, it prompted Ubisoft. It was like a kind of a 1-2 drop. I mean, first announcements was Watch Dogs getting delayed, and then they a game that very few of us care about, which was The Crew, also, which did not have a release date, was also moved, which leads many to speculate that The Division has also been moved to later next year, probably come out about the same time Assassin's Creed 5 does.
Which is, I'm okay with The Division moving back, because to be honest, it was slated to release almost the exact same time Destiny was going to. And to me, those games just seem so... I want to say they're similar, but they're not. Like, it's the same kind of...
It's the same idea.
It's the same idea. The multiplayer-esque part of it is the same idea. So I'm kind of happy to actually see The Division move back towards the end of the year, because we're, theoretically, unless plans change, we should be getting Destiny, like, March, April.
Amazon has it listed as like a June 31st, but obviously they just do that as a placeholder. I thought Destiny was just supposed to be summer.
Who releases a game and, well, actually that'd be smart. I'd love to see somebody release a large AAA title in the middle of summer all video game companies fear to tread.
Is Infamous or Last of Us not considered AAA to you?
Infamous, of course it is. Infamous typically comes out in March, though.
No, Infamous has been May. It's been E3. They usually release it alongside E3, and they move.
Then I will go with yeah. I don't consider it triple. No, I'm joking. I just don't think about Infamous as much as you do.
I feel like I've said this before, but I think I need my video game publishers to realize that I'm not 13 years old and I don't need to wait for Christmas to buy my games, that I have a job and my own money and I can buy a game, you know, in April and in June. I don't have to wait. And I don't know why they're doing this to themselves where they always push for that November release.
I mean, yes, they should
have something launching in November, but they can spread them out, make it easier on them for development and to buy. We don't need to save up all this money and blow it in November.
They do that because of it's the exact same mentality as the movie industry. The movie industry turbo loads the end of the year because they want your movies fresh in their mind for Oscar season. Video game industry does the same thing. They turbo load the end of the year because it's the holiday season. It's the most money that's spent all year round happens in the very end of the fourth quarter and the very beginning of the first quarter. So they turbo load all that stuff in the end of October and in November because that's when the peak sales are. So it's more a money-making thing. It's not a we love you guys as gamers type of a thing.
Is it really, I mean, what's driving the money making is, are they making their money then because that's when they're releasing their games?
It's Black Friday. It's people buying Christmas presents. It's the holiday season.
Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
I wish I could get 12 games, 12 games.
I don't think they need to do that anymore.
Would you actually switch to the Jewish religion if that was a thing?
No.
See, so
but no, that's why it's kind of, they do that. It's like Danner said, the same thing kind of happens with Hollywood this time of year for like Oscar stuff. But you talked about they overload it and they kind of cannibalize each other on sales, not to mention they are rather expensive. But the same thing happens to the movie industry in the summer where we get one blockbuster after the other week after week and they just destroy each other. And it's like, the whole thing is just crazy.
And the funny thing, I recall the conversation me and you had, Mike, about this, which was, why the fuck is Ubisoft releasing Assassin's 4 and Watch Dogs weeks apart from each other? It just doesn't make sense. But also in the long run, Ubisoft has a tendency not to make sense. Last year they did Rayman the exact same day as they did Assassin's 3. But they didn't even advertise Rayman. Hardly at all, which I was far more satisfied with Rayman Origins than I was with Assassin's 3.
I heard a small rumor that AC3 was actually hampered because it was supposed to be a next-gen game. Ubisoft was banking on the consoles being out.
I don't buy that for a second.
As messed up as that game was, I can kind of buy that.
Now, as messed up as that game was, I don't know. It felt so rushed and so clunky at the same time. Like, it feels like they tried to do in one game what they did in three games with Assassin's 2, Brotherhood and Revelations.
And I don't even think they accomplished that, and I never even played the other two.
I think that everything felt more fleshed out in like a whole story between those three games, where Assassin's 3 just, I don't know.
I'm convinced that all those other Assassin's Creed 2 games were originally intended to be DLC for the first Assassin's Creed.
Brotherhood was completely intended to be DLC. Read an article saying they said it basically started as DLC and it just got so big that they were just like, forget it. Let's just make another game because it just got big. And then they decided to make it bigger by doing multiplayer for the first time in that game.
What other game recently did that?
Except this didn't do well. Four.
Yeah, but they didn't give us the same city.
No, they.
Yeah, I mean,
I see what you're saying.
What Assassin's Creed did, turning a DLC into a full game, is something that would ordinarily really piss me off, except that I think those games were so good in the story department and so good in the new features department that they were $60 games to me. And
well, and they were, the stories were so well fleshed out and the characters were so well developed. And I think it's a credit to them because, like you said, it started out as DLC, but then they really, I mean, they put the work into it to make it feel like a full game. They didn't go, well, this is a $20 DLC and let's slap like a $20 multiplayer on it. And then, you know, we'll just charge $60 for it. And you don't feel hollow and shitty inside afterwards when you play it. It actually,
like you do after playing Saints Row 4.5.
Well, we've never, let's be fair. 3 of us have never played it.
I played Saints Row 3, so I'm assuming I've already played Saints Row 4.
Exactly.
Oh, I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was now. My brain has been fried for most of the day. So what is this? Joe, you already shared your thoughts on this. Danner, does this, like, hamper your excitement for the PlayStation 4 or even the next gen with Watch Dogs not being there?
No, because for working at GameStop for so long and seeing so many games get delayed, typically a game delay means there's issues with the game and they're going to take the time to flush it out and to fix the issues with the game instead of releasing the game with bugs and then patching you later.
Which, you know, let's be honest, that'll happen anyways.
I know, but to me, I don't... Once again, I'm going to use the movie standard. When you see a movie get pushed back, you automatically go, "Oh, crap." When I see a game pushed back, I go, "Good. They're going to do it right." It's a complete opposite reaction for me when it comes to movies getting delayed versus games getting delayed. Because to me, when a game gets delayed, it means they're going to put the work into it and they're not going to rush something out that may not be what you expect it to be when it comes out, like Fable. So I actually get excited when that happens with games. I mean, a good example of a game getting that kind of treatment was the Wolverine Origins game. The movie got delayed a year, but the game was done. So instead of pushing the game out, they actually sat on the game and polished it and worked all the kinks and the bugs out of it. So it was a really solid game when it came out, when the movie came out. The movie blew ass. The game was really good. That's the difference of what a year makes in a movie and a year makes in a game.
Also, the game didn't have a writer's strike.
Yes, there's that. The script was done beforehand. They had Sentinels and everything. They had so much cool stuff in that game that just wasn't in the movie. Oh, well. So I don't see it as a bad thing. Yes, I'm annoyed because I was really looking forward to that game. And it was one of many catalysts for why I want a PS4. I want a PS4 because I want a PS4. It's pure and simple. It doesn't really come down to a specific game. I'm excited to play Assassin's 4 on there, and I was more concerned about playing what I was going to play first and spend my time between Assassin's 4 and Watch Dogs, and now I don't have to make that decision. I'll be playing Assassin's 4, and I'll be playing Call of Duty Ghosts. I'm fine with that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it doesn't affect my decision like at all, not to mention, you know, it doesn't affect my decision because I'm ready for it. Like, I kind of, the systems that we have are tapped out. Like, I don't see how I almost want to do like the upgrade path for Watch Dogs just so I can see how crippling the current gen is to that game. But you know, there was a tweet by another Arthur, Arthur Geese from Rebel FM and Polygon. He said, releasing a game to console audiences after Titanfall and maybe Infamous move more systems isn't the worst idea in the world. So it actually makes a little more, a slightly better business sense, too, to not lead the charge with that big of a game. Because Titanfall will definitely move Xbox Ones, and Infamous will definitely move PlayStation 4s.
Yeah.
My issue with the whole thing is Allie, my wife, was going to get Assassin's Creed 4, and I was going to get Watch Dogs, and then we would, once we finished them, we would switch. And now I have to figure out what the hell I'm going to buy. So, I mean, obviously I've got Ghost and AC4 will be in the house, and there's a whole like slew of downloadable titles that I'll be grabbing too, which is, you know, War Thunder is a big one. And just now I remembered what I was going to say when you guys were talking about the Assassin's Creed sequels. I've never paid $60 for an Assassin's Creed game. I waited 2 to 3 weeks for them to be $30 on Black Friday. Because that was one thing you could always count on with Assassin's Creed. It was always $30 to $40 on Black Friday. So, although I don't think
that's going to... I was so in love with that game, I couldn't wait. I wanted them to have my money.
I don't see that
happening. Go make more.
Because what's that? I don't see that happening this year. At least with the next gen stuff. I can see the current gen stuff being marked down to $30 or $40, but I don't see the next gen getting those holiday season price cuts.
No, and that won't happen. No. So,
but yeah, I have yet to look at a release schedule again to figure out what my game is going to be to play while Allie's playing Assassin's Creed 4. However, in other news, Sony announced a cross-buy with several games today, one of them being Flower. It's coming to the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation Vita. The awesome thing is, if you actually already bought the game, then you already own it on all three systems.
Nice.
So
cool.
I'm super happy about that, because I could totally play Flower again. Let's see. Another little PlayStation 4 thing. Sorry, it's PlayStation heavy. I didn't really see a lot of Xbox stuff recently. Demo units are heading out to stores. GameStop and Best Buy will be getting them in the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
So, should be able to head out and maybe get your hands on one. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything else big that, you know, kind of happened. I don't really think so. Other than the fact that there's already DLC announced for Assassin's Creed 4, which was inevitable, but still irritates me.
I don't know why I'm not excited for that game. 3 just burned me.
Well, there's two pieces of bad news in a row, almost. There was the Assassin's Creed 4 DLC, which, you know, pre-announced DLC just kind of irritates me. And then they also, the bad news that I, only bad news I've heard about Assassin's Creed 4 so far is that it has 5 hours of modern day content. Which
it's optional.
Right. You only need to engage with like 5 minutes of it.
Wait. There. Huh?
Yep.
How?
Desmond. It's somebody else.
I know it's not Desmond, but I thought they were going to do the exact... Well, I'm sure they were going to do the exact same interface that they did for the Vita version, which is it's a game console.
But that's fine. I mean, they did say that once you hop out, you can just hop right back in, kind of like you could in Assassin's Creed 3. What's going to irritate me is if you do that and then you get to the end of the game and then you still have to do all the outside stuff.
Yeah.
Outside stuff never bothered me because I actually kind of cared.
I could.
However,
I hated that stuff.
The 3 story just got too crazy for me, but I didn't mind doing the outside the world stuff. In fact, I wish there were more and that he were a little more like the characters, that he was kind of absorbing all of their skills. I wish there was more of an opportunity to use those skills than just jumping around the ruins or whatever.
Call of Duty Ghosts is, I'm actually kind of interested to see how this kind of impacts the game, because I don't think we've ever had this before, but Call of Duty Ghosts is getting dedicated servers across all platforms. So it looks like Call of Duty might be borrowing from Battlefield, and Battlefield is borrowing from Call of Duty. So, yay, competition is a good thing.
Yay.
What the other rumor is that they're kind of hoping to add a server browser to the game eventually, and that's a boo. I don't want any of that stuff. I just want matchmaking. So, all right. That's about all I've got. Did anyone else hear anything interesting in the last week? No? All right.
I'm trying to remember if... No.
Okay.
I think we covered most of the stuff.
Let's talk about LEGO Marvel Super Heroes.
Yay!
Why don't you guys go first? Because you clearly had a better experience with it than I did.
I just thought it was fun. I mean, it's a LEGO game. I like the versatility of the Hulk in the demo. The fact that you could transform into Bruce Banner and do
that was
stuff
a really
Bruce
neat
Banner,
play feature,
and then transform into Hulk and all the stuff Hulk could do. And I like the feeling and the play of Iron Man, and then Spider-Man comes in halfway through the demo. So I mean, I liked the look and the feel of it. It controlled nicely. It was pretty smooth. It still had the one thing that drives me a little bit crazy about all LEGO games is it looks like it's got screen tearing during the cinematics.
Oh God. Yes, it does.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's just something I've come to expect now from all LEGO games. It doesn't seem to be something they've ever been able to rectify since all the way back in the LEGO Star Wars games. So
I'd love to see, I hear you guys talk about screen tearing all the time, and I'd like to, maybe I shouldn't want to notice that because then I'll see it all the time, but
you don't want to see
I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Once you see it, you'll never unsee it. Cause there's a whole lot of games, there's especially a lot of games that you've been playing that it's really bad in.
I did notice on this that it seems like it's in it's very low resolution, the LEGO game, it everything looks like the pixels are giant.
It's probably 720 or a lower resolution than that. It wouldn't be surprising.
I couldn't imagine the amount of polygons on the screen when something explodes or the Sandman was the big bad guy in the demo level, how many little tiny LEGO bricks there were everywhere on the screen. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, there's probably a trade-off they made with like the screen resolution to keep a somewhat solid frame rate and the screen tearing to a minimum with all the pieces that were on there. Did either of you play the game cooperatively?
Nope.
Wanted to.
You are so lucky. Okay. Are all LEGO games like this if you play cooperatively? Does when you get far enough away from the person you're playing with, the screen splits?
That's a newer feature.
Okay. It's horrible. It is horrid. It's not it like if you get far enough away, it depends on which direction you're splitting. So if you head to the left, the screen splits down the middle. If you head to the top and the bottom of the screen splits in the middle. But the problem is, it's not a solid vertical line or a horizontal line. If you move around each other, it twists and turns, and you can't really figure you lose if you're not paying attention. Like, for example, I was playing as the Hulk, and Allie was playing as Iron Man. The Hulk is considerably larger than Iron Man, so it was a lot easier for me to track where I was on the screen. But when it kept flipping around on her like that, and all like the little mud sand people showed up, like she, like you could, I even looked at her half of the screen. I could not see her character. It was a bloody mess. And it could be the fact that I've got a small headache right now, but I was really looking forward to this game, and just that moment playing it cooperatively with my wife, like knocked it down a peg. And
well, I played the LEGO Batman with your son at GameStop that one day, Art, and that's where that diagonal and shifting two-player thing, I noticed that and played it, and I didn't like it then either. It made tracking your character very hard. Is this online? This is online co-op, right?
That's what I was going to say. That's the only saving grace. Like when Allie and I got done, I was like, I might be interested in this, because like, I can imagine playing it, because like Danner said, and Joe, you, I mean, you can elaborate more, but we said off the air that you enjoyed it, but I can see enjoying this. Like, I totally got that Ultimate Alliance vibe from it. But I can see enjoying this playing it non-split screen. Like, if we were all playing online as different characters, yeah. I can totally see having fun with that. But just, wow, I can't. Like, why not just... In a game that's that complex with that many pieces, why not just not let the screen split? I mean, just rubber band the characters. Out. It doesn't even have to pan out. Just don't let people move around separately of each other that far, you know? Joe, what did you think?
I was impressed by most of it. I like the feel, like the humor. The voice acting was outstanding. Watching Lego bricks move around and do those hilarious things, I think, is cute and clever. I liked that each character has a role. Each of them can do something unique, and you need to cooperate and bounce between the figures, the little guys, to do those things. And I see that being online as a really fun opportunity. Hey, you, Mike, go get the thing and lift it up. All right, I'm Iron Man. I'll shoot the silver doodad so it explodes. I think that stands to be really fun. The amount of characters to unlock that they hinted at by the screen with all the question marks on it gets me excited. My one complaint on the game is something that I complain about in all different types of games, where the buttons are context sensitive, but the type of context, the category of what type of context the button has, changes. So Hulk walks up to the big heavy thing that you need to throw at this thing, and it's circle button to pick it up, but it's square to throw it, which, I mean, okay, maybe that was your melee attack before, but now it's a ranged attack. All of those buttons that are changing and then having to juggle between the three different characters, I think, leads to a convoluted control scheme.
I think I could be wrong. I think that when you're not holding anything, and I wish I could remember this better, if you're not holding anything and you hit circle, he will reach into the ground and pick up a mound of dirt. And if you hit square, he throws it. So that is still like within the circle square thing is still within the realm of established controls for that game.
But why isn't it circle to pick it up and circle to throw it?
Because I think circle drops stuff.
Does it?
I think, I think if you pick up like a mound, like I said, if you pick up that mound of dirt and you hit circle again, he drops it. If you pick up an object with circle, he will, and then hit circle again, I believe he drops it again.
I don't think there's a need for that.
But I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I'm just saying that I don't think there is all over the places. You know, it's not, I don't think it's that different depending on what you're doing. I mean, when you're doing the special contextual things, I don't think it's any, they're asking you to do something different than if you weren't doing a contextual attack.
Now, I'm looking online right now at info for the game, and according to this, there is no online supported co-op for this game.
I'm out.
Yep. Sorry, yep. He lost me. I was going to buy that game because I'm sure all of you would have, and we could have played it online together.
Yep. According to Co-Optimus, its website, there is 2-player on couch local co-op, and that's it. There is no local plus online support. There's no, it's only a 2-player co-op. So
why?
For some reason, has anybody else noticed the fact that, if I recall correctly, Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga is the only one that has online co-op?
Well, you and Shanzi are the ones that have played the Lego games, so you would know the best.
Well, it's not like we've played together.
Well, okay.
And plus, I have kids. I have an excuse.
And you play it locally with your kids, right?
Yeah.
How did it handle split screen before the days of this diagonal across the board thing?
It would teleport to where player one is, or...
Oh, you'd automatically move there?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would be so nice.
I just want a vertical line splitting my thing.
Well, I'm questioning now this online thing, because now I'm going to pull the grouping of games I have for Lego and read the back of all these.
All right, let's see.
All right, Lego Batman. 1 to 2 player, no online. Lord of the Rings, 1 to 2 player, no online.
Crap.
So, yeah, that would pretty much, yeah, fit the MO of the Lego games, where they don't really do any online. Well, that's kind of shitty.
Did anyone else notice the irony of it being a Warner Brothers game who owns the DC Heroes?
They're just publishing it, but yeah.
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 You think there'll be a DC crossover somewhere in there? Just has probably Superman fly again around in the background?
Yeah, no, I dug the humor. Like, I like that the ending cinematic. And I do like that the only voice they got from all of
Coulson?
The... Yeah, it was Coulson.
That's so cool. I love that character and everything he's become in that universe.
I just... My biggest pull to play this game, though, is I want to play as Stan Lee.
Oh, did you guys find Stan Lee?
No.
We did.
Nice.
He's... Because we were... While the camera was shifting all around, Allie and I were trying to figure out how to wash away the sand leading to Sandman. Like, there's that train car or whatever it was. And they're like, find a way to get water to spray at the thing. And it kept going, only guys with fire can melt gold objects. And it's like, switch to a guy that has special senses to find. And we're like, none of this is helping us. So we started just moving around on our own. And Allie went up on one of the ledges and beat up a Coke machine. And he popped out of it. I
beat up that Coke machine and nothing happened.
There was there was a surprising lack of feedback from objects in the environment.
Yeah, like, I kind of noticed that too.
Like it felt like stuff that could break, you wouldn't know it could break because you would wail on it, but it wouldn't actually jiggle. So it was kind of like, okay, well now I'll just kind of run around. The same thing happened when you get to Sandman and while you're still in the train station, and it's like, he's just sending mud guys after you and you're getting shot by the cannons. It's kind of like, what am I supposed to do? And really, there's nothing really directing you over to the scaffolding on the right side, except for the fact that it's shiny. But if you walk over there and start wailing on it, it doesn't do anything to actually tell you that if you hit this long enough, it will eventually explode.
I destroyed it in one hit because I accidentally unibeamed over there.
Yeah, it took us like 5-10 minutes.
Oh, that's another one of those context change things. The triangle button, sometimes that interacts with the environment. Other times it switches your character.
It switches, yeah.
So I'd walk up to a button and then like, oh, I need to pull this lever. Oh, I switched to Hulk.
I had that happen to me once, but only because the triangle was not over what I was trying to get into yet. Usually if you are close enough to an object you hit triangle in, the extra character loses the triangle above their head.
Yeah, and that's, you know, with all the havoc I had, not, I don't know, difficulties, not the right word, but frantic nature. It's like triangle, 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 and I just kept switching around.
Oh, no, I totally get where you're coming from, because when I was doing the final fight with Sandman, you had to climb up on the water tower or whatever it is. Like, I was trying to get into the cannon, but I wasn't. I was, like, right next to the cannon, but the Spider-Man character was also right next to me. So it did that, too. It couldn't decide which one was closer to me. So, but, I mean...
Man, I'm so pissed now that it's not online co-op. God, man. I'm sorry. I've been silent because I'm just over here mulling it over.
That's like 2 crotch punches in one day. It's like no Watch Dogs and no online co-op for Lego Marvel Superheroes.
I know.
What are we going to play?
I know. Really, it's going to be Assassins and Ghosts. That's like it until Second Son comes out.
I guess it's going to be time to go dust off Borderlands.
Nope.
No, nope.
Not
kidding.
Not unless I could get it cheap with all the DLCs on the PS3. Not gonna happen.
They have the Game of the Year edition for $60 with all the DLC.
Too expensive.
That was on sale somewhere this week. Steam, I think.
Well, Steam's not the PS3.
No, it's not.
All right. Moving on from all the bad news we've just uncovered. Last week, Shaunzi asked you, what is the most infuriating game you have ever played? A game that you enjoyed playing but just ticks you off. Let's see. Dragono said that... Okay, I'm going to read it the way he said it. I know what game he's talking about, but I'm not sure if it's a typo or maybe it was under a different name in like another country by chance. He said, I loved playing Sky Fox, but some of those characters were super annoying. I have imagined many bad things happening to Peppy Hare. I know it's Star Fox. Personally, for me, the most annoying character in that game is Slippy.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Yep.
Do a barrel roll.
Fuck you, Slippy. I mean, screw you, Slippy.
Here's one for you, Danner. Walking Dread says, I remember WWF No Mercy for Nintendo 64 had some sort of memory glitch. I don't know how many times that would wipe out all my created wrestlers, seasons, etc. I loved everything about it and would think, this time it won't happen. But again and again, it would wipe everything out.
Terrible. I just remember how much time I spend making characters on those games and just, I'm sorry, man, that you even had to experience that. That's terrible.
Draconis? This is kind of a side thing, but he asked us if we had tried out the Ouya yet. No, I did tell him that we have not been able to try out the Ouya, because none of us can justify dropping $100 on it because there isn't anything good for it. And anything that's good for it is actually coming to all the other consoles very soon. So
I didn't realize that thing was out yet. I thought it was just beta stuff.
Nope, it's out there.
If, however, they want to send us a free one so we can test it out, I'll be more than happy.
To talk about it on the podcast. Yes. We won't even say anything bad about it if they send us one.
Well, I guarantee nothing there. I'll be honest.
Wait. Say that after they send it to us.
Sorry. I mean, I will completely just bow down, and you can even, if you let us use it and play it, you can write what you want me to say.
Exactly.
Nice. Draconis also follows it up with, years ago I played Final Fantasy II on the Wonderswan Color, saved it right at the Jade Passage, turned it back on after a break, and the save disappeared. I wanted to scream.
It's like there was a glitch in Final Fantasy Mystic Quest where if you were in a certain dungeon for too long, the game would freeze and die on you. So you had like 5.5 minutes to get through this one section. The moment you got through the door, you were good. But if you got stuck in too many fights and couldn't get through those fights, it would just freeze and crash, and you'd have to start over. Learn that one the hard way.
Dragono, let's see. I think he submitted one. He submitted another one. He said, SimCity is my choice without any doubt. I put hours upon hours into that game, only to see it destroyed with only a few wrong choices. I'm shaking thinking about it. Freddie Savage followed that up with, he had similar issues with Civilization. Sometimes the AI in those games can be super moronic. Connor Murphy said, Contra was the game for me. I don't know how many times I attempted to beat that game as a kid and failed. That and Top Gun for the NES. Landing the plane on the aircraft carrier is still something that haunts my dreams. I'd mess it up every time, but still come back for more.
Honestly, listeners, the trick to landing the plane on the aircraft carrier is to hold the button, don't tap it.
You know,
that's all it takes.
You know what would be really funny is if I totally cut that part out and it's just dead silence.
Or if you beep it.
Or just beep.
I can put in radio music. Interesting thing about Contra, I had a friend in college. She had an NES in her room, and all she had was Contra. She could clear that game with one life.
My wife can beat Sonic the Hedgehog in one life. Ugh. It's beautiful. She doesn't even like video games.
Let's see. Brad Kellogg. I always get ticked off playing Modern Warfare online. When you get a good game going, it's great. Most of the time I spend getting my ass handed to me by 12-year-olds. I still can't stop. I need to beat those punks.
That's exactly why I don't play those games anymore.
Welcome to every single match of Call of Duty ever.
Yeah, except we wised up and started muting everybody, which makes the game much more enjoyable.
Yeah, it does, but it still doesn't stop you getting owned by 12-year-olds.
Right, but you no longer know that they're 12, other than the fact that you're getting owned. No. What's interesting, though, the fact that we started muting everybody in Modern Warfare is I have not met a new person online.
Since we started muting people.
Yeah, since before Call of Duty or Modern Warfare 2 was the last. Like, I think Shaunzy was legitimately the last person I met online.
I say we institute a one-week rule on Ghost where we don't mute anybody on Ghost until 1 week in.
You want to try or, and make new friends?
Or wait, no, wait, I got a better idea. How about we don't mute anybody until we hear our first racist comment? So in 5 minutes in, we'll start muting people.
Dude, you're going to start muting people in the lobby.
That's
probably
true. That's true. That usually happens because there'll be someone blaring music.
Okay, I was gonna say the first time we hear somebody singing or the first time we hear a racist comment, we start muting. But until then, no muting.
Let's see. The King of Kongs. The game I have been most irritated with has to be Ninja Gaiden for Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was so freaking hard. I got ticked off with how impossible they make it. But finally beating it does make it all worth it.
I couldn't even get past the boss in the introductory level. That's how frustrating that game was. I've never been so pissed at a game before.
Brad Kellogg followed that up with, "Oh, man, Ninja Gaiden was notoriously an epic pain. I would say that may be in my top 5 hardest games ever." And then Walking Dread finishes up that comment thread with, "Agreed, Ninja Gaiden is tough as shit." Actually, I'm sorry. He says, $$#, any version of it, really. I don't know. I think I've been trying to think of a game that.
That was the game that we compared like at GameStop, but that was the example like. Well, how hard is it? We're always like, well, it's not Ninja Gaiden hard, but it's...
Oh, okay, I can play it then.
Yeah.
So, what are your guys' answers?
To?
The question.
Which one?
The only which question. One.
Well, I forgot what it was. That was like 20 minutes ago.
Sorry.
Frustrating game.
Yeah, the most infuriating game you've ever played.
But you still go back to play.
Yes.
I don't go back to play frustrating games. My life's too short.
Okay, but you must have done it at some point.
And go, no, I don't know. Why would I waste? No, God, no.
Really?
Why would I?
Never?
Yeah, that's
ever,
like,
ever.
That's like punching myself in the balls and then going back for another hit.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm trying. There was one, and I might have to even go ask Jenny, my wife upstairs, what it was. There was a point where I was playing a game and she was sitting behind me and I was making that sound of. And she was seriously concerned
3.
For me. What's that?
I thought that was Assassin's 3.
Yep, that's what it was. Because
I remember that story.
That freaking thing. Yeah, with the butt. Yep, that's exactly what it was. Because they changed the controls so that if you did it the way, if you ran around the way you did in Assassin's Creed 2, you'd jump off of things to your death. Because holding R2 and forward turned off all the safeties, so you just jump off buildings at will. Yeah, that was the game. You're right. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, but you didn't enjoy that game, so...
No, I hated that game.
Is there a game that you enjoy that just Never, ever. Not even like NES, Super Nintendo, nothing. Like this isn't just current stuff. Like nothing.
No, I don't play games that frustrate me.
Wow.
Why, yeah, I don't understand. I wouldn't. That's the sign of a bad game, and I don't play bad games. Like I said, my life's too short.
Oh, I don't play bad games. My name's Joe. I'm an elitist gamer. Look at me.
I'll play a bad game long enough to realize that it's bad.
I'm so good, quit. Guys.
Now Joe wishes Shaunzi was here. What about you, Danner?
Pixel Junk Monsters. That's the one game where I'm just always like, for some reason to me, it always comes down to beating a level, and it's the second the last round is when I blow it. So I will have spent 30 minutes on a level playing and then lose everything in the second to last level. And I can't, like, I'm incredibly frustrated. I was just like, oh, if I would have just put a tower just there, that it would have solved everything. And then I jump right back in and continue to play, even though I would get just horribly pissed at that game sometimes because every time you lose that game, it's completely your own fault. It's because you didn't have the foresight or weren't quick enough moving something or something like that. And it's all strategy. But that's one of those games that I sink so much time into that game and I get horribly frustrated when I get to like the second to last round and lose and then dump another 30 to 40 minutes into trying to beat that level again. And if I go three times in a row and I can't beat it, I know it's time to shut the Vita off and walk away and come back to it later. So I would say that's probably the only one that I've gotten severely frustrated with, but I keep going back to constantly. Much like in Joe's account. Actually, that's a lie. There's several other games that I've been frustrated with, which I would say fall in the realm of they're not great games. But for me, even with a not great game, I'm an achievement whore sometimes, and I'll play a game through just to get the achievements, even if I'm not enjoying it.
All right. I'm trying to think of some for me. I mean, there's it wasn't a good game. The last time I got really irritated with a game was obviously, as I talked about, was Need for Speed Most Wanted. Where I threw my controller for like the first time in like 10 years. I was trying to think, like, I remember being frustrated with the last boss in Uncharted 2. And I remember being frustrated with, I think it's either the last boss in either God of War 1 or God of War 2. Like, both of those games, I had to I beat my head against the wall for hours trying to beat those guys, and then I had to like stop playing, and I came back the next day and beat them in one go. Like, it's just, it's sometimes I don't know that a game can be in, you know, a game is repeatedly infuriating to me. It's more like I play a game for so long that I just start getting sloppy, and then it gets infuriating, and as soon as I put it down and I can come back, it's not nearly as hard as, you know, it was before. I was back to what you were saying though about monsters. Have you started watching YouTube videos yet about how to clear levels the right way?
No, I that seems like cheating to me.
Now you're gonna go do it. I'm really trying to think of something. I remember like trying to do stuff until I like perfected it, like Donkey Kong Country. Like, I just like perfecting like the barrel runs and stuff that. Just being able to get through them like super fast.
Where you get so good that you could time it to shoot yourself out of the barrel before it's made one complete 360 degree circle that, you know, it just clicks three times, bam, 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 you know.
Yep. Yeah.
I did that. And see, that's not frustrating to me. That's challenging. It's a healthy level of, yeah, like, oh man, that's the third time I've screwed up. Yeah, that's frustrating, but
if you look at the comments though that we got, most of these people were just, I mean, with the exception of, it looks like with the exception of the WWF No Mercy, like with hardware glitches, it looks like a lot of it was just people, you know, being frustrated with challenges. It's not like they were saying like a game was bad. Like SimCity was on here. It's kind of because SimCity is kind of that thing where if you do one wrong thing, you can screw yourself completely over. It's like a tower defense game. Same with Civilization. Yeah. Contra is just kind of muscle memory, really. Modern Warfare, that's, you know, that's like a challenge. Ninja Gaiden
is
especially
challenging. There is a healthy level of frustration where it entices you to do more, and then there's this game is designed poorly and the difficulty curve is too steep.
Okay, do you have any of those games then?
Oh, yeah, every one of them that I play when I've died more than 3 times in a row. I've had moments with Grand Theft Auto 5 where I've been frustrated because the shooting combat in the beginning was not exactly what I expected it to be, but I got over it. You know, it wasn't so bad that I needed to quit. But yeah, it's not that I'm going to throw the controller frustrated. It's I know I'm better than this frustrated.
Right. I get that. I get that a lot. All right. So I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Like I said, shorter, more intimate. Just getting right down to it.
I'm wearing lingerie.
Now it's creepy.
Yeah, Joe in lingerie with a beard. Speaking of Joe in lingerie with a beard, he's been showing me crotch shots while we've been playing GTA 5.
Huh? Oh, that's right.
So, all right, Joe, you got your question?
Yep, I have my question.
Fire away.
Maybe it's not a doozy, but I think it will be a fun one, and I can't wait to hear all of your answers. At any of the video games you've ever played in your life, when have you felt like the worst human being possible because of something that you did in the video game? Please share with us your story.
Yes, tell us how bad of a person you are.
Tell us how horrible of a human being you are because of what you did to some virtual character.
Yes. All right. So yeah, that's going to do it for this week's show. As always, if you want to get in touch with us, you can comment on our parents' site at Geekcast Radio or send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put off the cuff in the subject line. And remember, in the show notes, we're going to have the categories for the off the cuff 7th Gen Console Awards. We are still taking entries for that. If you haven't submitted one, we would like to hear from you. If not, maybe submit one under a false ID just to pad the numbers. So yeah, go ahead and get those in. You can find myself, Michael Powers, on Twitter, Xbox Live, and PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me on Twitter at RDanner or on PSN at X51, the Machine Man.
Joe?
The best way to get a hold of me is through the Facebook page, Geek Stuff Garage Sale. You can send a message there, or you can tweet me at Joe Reed Geek. I'm still learning Twitter, but tweet me profusely so that I'm forced to learn how to do that. That'd be great.
All right. So until next week, you have died of dysentery.
Swing your arms from side to side. Come on. It's time to go do the Mario.